Welcome to Raw and Real Entrepreneurship, the show that dares to bring no-nonsense insight to those who have the courage to start, grow, and scale a business. I'm your host, Susan Sly. All right, everyone, what is up all over the world? I want to give shouts out to all the hustler side hustlers and the raw and real entrepreneurs. You're here because you want the no nonsense, just get to the point. And my guest today is all that and more because he's from New Jersey. It's just that's going to preface everything. So get this. He is the host of the popular Brand Doctors podcast. He talks about strategies that help entrepreneurs design reputable and profitable personal brands. And I just want to go hashtag thank God. Because, you know, one of the things Ryan Dice, who's a friend of mine, always says, like, why would we sacrifice our soul at the altar of fame? And so my guest today is going to make sure you don't do that. So your soul is protected. As a self-taught graphic designer, brand consultant, he's overcome the odds and built a variety of widely successful businesses. And when you research the guy, you go, oh my gosh, he has worked with John Bon Jovi, Fabio, I want to ask about that one, and the amazing Russell Brunson. I know Russell, amazing person. And he has been called the $1 million brander and was introduced into the ClickFunnels 2 Comma Club, which is no easy feat. And on top of all of that, he's just an outstanding human. So Henry Kaminsky, thanks for being on Raw and Real Entrepreneurship.
Thank you. What an intro, man. Thank you for having me. I've done my research on you as well. I love what you are doing for the entrepreneur community. And congratulations to all your success as well. I think it's fantastic. And keep up the great work.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. I've got so many questions for you. It's like Henry and I were talking before the show. We're like, let's just have dinner and hang out. Oh my gosh. Okay. So Henry, here we are. It's a bananas time. We got the great resignation. 73.4% of people in America alone say, I want to leave my job. We've got 61% of people say they want to start a business. 92% of them never do. Here's my question for you. If you lost everything, you had 90 days to build using your skills to build a $1 million business, what would you do?
Well, it depends on where I'm at, right? But the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to survey the land and I'm going to see what resources are there already, what resources they're lacking, and figure out the need and figure out where the people in this community are struggling. So it's going to be a lot of diagnosis work before I can strategize a plan to execute. So I wish I have the answer for you, but that's where I would start. And by uncovering all of that, then I would go and present my case and present the offer accordingly to give them what they want, to make their lives easier, whether it's to save time, whether it's to save resources, whether it's to save money, whatever the case may be. But that's my goal. And with that said, I'm pretty sure I can hit that $1 million mark in 90 days.
So you, what I'm hearing is you're going to find out what's the problem that, you know, a lot of people want to solve, and you're going to give them a solution to that problem. So that's step number one. Let's get into tactics, because this is your zone of genius. You're not playing here. We've had some great marketers on the show. We've had some great brands on the show. We've had billionaires on the show. And, you know, let's get into tactics. So let's say you have that idea. What are you going to build in order to monetize that?
Yeah. So we're in 2022 now, right? Like we have technology at our fingertips. It's not like we're in the caveman era where we have to use sticks and rocks, right? Okay.
Or like my first internet business was 1995. That was like sticks and rocks. Yeah.
The dial-up modem.
Oh yeah.
And everything.
It was painful. Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do is I'm going out and I am going to ask the big questions, you know, like what's your biggest challenge? What are you trying to accomplish? And what are some of the things in between that are preventing you from doing that? And then I'm going to listen and take copious notes. I think a lot of times entrepreneurs these days, or let's just talk salespeople, they want to always show and prove. They're constantly trying to sell themselves. They're trying to convince. They're trying to constantly get a yes when they should be listening more than talking. And listen, I was horrible at sales. I would talk myself out of deals all day long and come home at the end of the day so frustrated. And my wife was like, just stop talking and start asking better questions. So I'm always going to stay in diagnosis mode. Mm. And I use these terms a lot. And this is where we got the brand doctor from, air quotes, is the way that I really help my clients get the results that they're looking for. And it's diagnosis, prescription, and then application. Those are if you want to talk tactics, Susan, that is my tactic that has proven my business and proven my value to the marketplace. I always tell people, if you try to prescribe before diagnosing, that is malpractice. And you could go to jail for that. So we're not trying to do that. So we could go as deep as you want there, but that's the three-step approach that I work with my clients on to help them get the results that they're looking for.
I love that. You wouldn't prescribe before you diagnose. So you've got the diagnosis, you've got the prescription. Mm-hmm. You said application. So the listeners know one of my best friends on the planet is Rebecca Zung. And Rebecca is also a 2 Comma Club member. She's known for Negotiate with a Narcissist. She's got a huge YouTube channel, also a student of Russell. And one of the things Rebecca and I always talk about is execution.
Yeah.
So Henry, like as an example, Rebecca has some big goals for 2022. I have some big goals for 2022. And we'll talk and say, okay, what are you executing on? Because that's the difference between the 8%, the 92% is that execution. What do you say to the person who's like, okay, I have a problem I want to solve, Henry. I know how to solve it, but I'm terrified to execute, because I'm sure you've had that with your clients.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask a question. What do you have more of, time or money right now?
Mm.
What do you have more of? And if it's time, then let's roll up our sleeves and I could give you the blueprint and I'm going to have you get to work. But if you don't have that kind of time, then we got to go to our old buddy Dan Sullivan's philosophy, which is look for the who's and not the hows. When I say that, it's who can help you execute this, and don't get so bogged down on how to get it done. You know, I always say, if you want it bad enough, you will find a way, or you will find somebody with the way. And that's something that we really have to pay attention to. Like that was something, you know, when Russell and I were doing business together, I learned a lot from him as we were building out the brand for ClickFunnels. And he was a master at finding the who's, you know, and he just stayed in his lane, did what he did best, be the face of the brand. He had the personality and he stayed there and he had his execution team. You know, from John Parks to Dave Woodward to all these people, but they were very strategically placed to help them achieve the goals that ClickFunnels wanted to achieve. And it was brilliant. So looking for the who's, not the how's. You're not going to build a business all by yourself. I'm sorry. Whoever says that if you take my course or follow this framework, you can be a guru in 5 weeks. You can be the next seven-figure earner. No, it's going to take a lot more work than that. And one of the things that I really want to emphasize on is if you're attracting unqualified clients to your sales pipeline, you have to take a timeout and you have to ask yourself, why am I attracting these types of folks? So I'm going to have you look at 3 different positions. One being your position in the marketplace. Are you the affordable version or are you the more premium exclusive version? It's the easiest way to explain. Sarah Blakely says this best in one of her master classes. She said, you know, when I got in, Sarah Blakely, for those that don't know, she's the CEO and founder of Spanx. And she turned that business into over a billion dollar business with, and she started with $5,000. That's why I love her. And she said, you know, when I got into Neiman Marcus and Nordstrom, I had set a bar for myself and I couldn't go into Walmart after that. No offense to Walmart, but I couldn't have my brand in an establishment like that. It would just, I would never be able to get back into the Neiman's and the, right? And it would actually dilute my brand. So I stayed accordingly to course. And so I really want you to take a look at your position in the marketplace to see where you fall. I had somebody reach out to me the one day and say, we have a $2,000 program and we keep getting people in our sales pipeline asking for a 10 payment plan. And he said, I feel like we're the poor man's solution to fill in the blank. I won't tell him, I don't want to give away his product or anything. Right. And I said, that's horrible. That's how you really feel about your product? And I said, all right, let's move on to the next step. Your messaging. What does your messaging say about you? Okay. It's very, very important to get that messaging right. If you don't know who you're speaking to, how can you speak to them? Mm-hmm. That's what I say. You got to work backwards here. And this isn't revolutionary information here. I'm not trying to say that I know it all or this is like groundbreaking, but working backwards and understanding your ideal client better than they understand themselves. If you could articulate their problems better than they could tell them to you, they're going to whip out that credit card. They're going to engage in your product or service and they're going to hire you. So it's very important to understand who. So use their language. Don't use your language. Use their language because there's a power behind familiarity.
Yeah.
Yes. I knew I was going to get tongue-tied on that one. and they're going to subconsciously connect with you. And then last but not least, visual aesthetic. And I think, Susan, you do a hell of a job with this. I've taken a peek at your videos and I'm looking at, right away, I'm looking at the production value. I'm looking at how you present yourself on camera. Are you in frame? What kind of equipment are you using? I'm looking at all of this stuff, right? I'm looking at your articulation, your inflection in your voice. I'm psycho when it comes to this stuff because I'm in the brand space. So, and I'm just looking at that because I say to myself, okay, if you want to attract a higher quality client, a higher paying client, a more premium vendor, a more premium client customer, how are you showing up? Are you putting in the work yourself? You know, are you premium? Are you putting in that effort? Because you're only going to attract what you are. And that's why I always say you have to elevate. You have to constantly strive for more or better. Yes, you can take some time to celebrate. You could take some time to soak it in. But if you're not setting the bar a little bit higher the next time, that complacency and that stagnation will catch up to you. And so be very, very conscious of that. So those three things when it comes to branding is extremely important to make sure that you're attracting the right people. But if your clients are looking for a more affordable solution and you look like a Gucci ad, they're going to run away because all they're going to say is, I can't afford you.
Yeah.
Right. So it's important.
Henry, like, here's okay, Lady Gaga. That's the drop. All right. Like, seriously, I hope everyone's taking notes. You said so much there. And I just do a quick thing. You mentioned Sarah Blakely. So all of the Raw and Real Entrepreneurs, if you haven't heard my interview with Sarah's husband, Jesse, oh my gosh, it's hilarious. I do a rap battle with Jesse, Henry. And that's the thing I just want to say, like everything Henry said, because I learned from all of my guests, and I've had some brand schizophrenia, which we're going to talk about in a minute. I would just say the thing, you know, I think maybe it's because I'm turning 50 this year, but it's just like, I don't have time to be anyone other than myself. So Jesse is on the show, Henry, and I'm like, I'm going to challenge him to a rap battle because, you know, Jesse was the first white rapper even before Vanilla Ice, right? And I'm like, hey, Jesse, you want to do a rap battle? And he's like, no, I'm not doing a rap battle. So my claim to fame is I won a rap battle challenge against Jesse Itzler. Why? Because he just, you know, he just didn't participate. So I declare myself the champion against Jesse. So going back to what you said about branding, this is raw and real entrepreneurship. So I've had some brand schizophrenia myself. I'm like, pink and black, blue, you know, and there was this point where I finally got to in 2021, where, so I'm half Chinese, and in my culture, gold, red, black, you know, jade, like all these things. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, screw it. I have to brand align with what feels good to me, because if I don't feel good about those little video clips, if I don't feel good about how the podcast looks, the photo, anything, I'm not going to freaking promote it.
Right.
So can you talk about brand schizophrenia? I just made up that term. It's
no.
It's
a thing, Susan. It's definitely a thing. That's why
thank you for putting your white collar on. I do feel better.
When we design brands for our clients, I have a very strong heart to heart with them before we get started. And I tell them that you have to trust who you hire and hire who you trust before you make an investment and commitment like this one. Okay. And I tell them, I've had clients in the past where they come in and they say, okay, I'll listen. I'll do it. But there is some inkling of uncertainty or lack of trust. And next thing you know, they become art director. They become designer. And then they're trying to have me and my team push pixels around. And I said, if you have that kind of time, this is not the right program for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to take your opinion into consideration. And yes, at the end of the day, it's your brand. You have the final say, but I will challenge you on some of the, opinion. I will challenge you on some of your assumptions as well. Okay. So let's get to it, right? When we are designing a brand, who are we designing it for? That is the big question. Everybody says, me. It's my business. It's my brand. Of course it's me. And I said, true. All right. So if we had to break this down into percentage, how much percentage would we be designing the brand for you? What do you think? Just take a guess.
It's not for you. Really, it's for the customer, right? In my opinion.
Well, there you go. So I agree with you of what you said before. I have to wear this and feel good in it. Mm-hmm. I do. And that's what you were saying before. Otherwise, I'm not going to promote it, right? Yeah. And I agree with that 1,000%. However, when you break it down by percentage of who we're actually designing the brand for, I would say 20%, and then 80% needs to be designed for your ideal customer.
Yes. Like, just preach it, brother. So there's a company, I won't disclose the name of the company or my association with it, but one of the founders, he loves like pastel-y colors, but the sector that company is in, none of their ideal customers have pastels in their logos. And so I showed them all the logos of their top 10 dream customers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can design this for one person and that person is going to feel really good. Or you can start to do something where there's going to be a trust around that. And so anyway, long story short, it's that is an ongoing debate, right, for that particular company. And I love what you said, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if the founder likes pastels, but if your end users are, let's say, in the industrial sector or something like that, you are missing out, because brand trust Henry, how, you're an expert. How long does a brand have to build trust in that first exposure? Because there are a lot of different theories around this.
That's a great question. That is a really great question. I think it's going to take time these days, but if you get it right, you can compress that time very quickly. I'll give you a quick example. So the millennial generation, the Gen Zs, the Gen Xs, they are perfect examples of culture. Like, they are looking for brands that stand for something, right? And it's, and that is the biggest thing. And guys, let's face it. None of us are getting any younger, and our client demographic is getting older. So guess what? These millennials, Gen Zs, Gen Xs, they're all going to be our clients one day, so long as we're still in business, right? So I hate hearing all these millennials that, or these that, and they're like, well, you better get an understanding of their buying mentality, the why they're buying and how they're buying, because if you don't adapt, they're not going to buy from you. So just get back to this point. So if we know that millennials are going to get introduced to a brand, and the first thing in their minds, they're going to ask themselves, what does this brand stand for and who are they for? Mm-hmm. Right? What are the brand attributes? What are the values that this brand stands for? And does those values align with mine? You can have an inferior product or service to your competitor, right? And still get the business because your values align with that person. So keep that in mind when it comes to building that trust. Is that value alignment is so huge. That's why I tell people, like, I'm working with a meal kit company right now, and they're a lot smaller than Blue Apron, HelloFresh, and all of those whales in the industry. And I said, you know how you're going to beat them? You. When I do my competitive research, none of them have a face to the brand. And this is where personal branding comes in, and it's like an ace in your back pocket. I said, I would love to see you out there more with your personality behind the scenes, talking to the audience, talking to the community. This is what Fabio Viviani does so spectacularly. He has multiple brands under his legacy, if you will, and he is out there promoting them all on social media like a 22-year-old kid. And that's how he stands out.
And that's huge, because what you just said, I hope this is landing for everyone. I was looking, Henry, at startup funding statistics, right? And so in the startup world, what we're seeing is a new trend that startups in Silicon Valley that have a face to the brand, meaning one of the founders has a brand, they are more likely to get funding than non-branded companies. So you can have a group of like tech people and they've got this great tech, but if no one is out there as the face of the brand, I can tell you, so Elon Musk, we all know, he, you know, three multi-billion dollar companies, and Elon has a personal brand. It doesn't matter like him or not. And the other thing Elon does, I was doing a talk for MIT a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things I said about Elon is he's listening to the masses. He just decided, yes, we're going to take Dogecoin for Tesla merchandise, right? He's listening to the masses. He posted on social media 2021, how many of my shares in Tesla should I sell off? He had a huge tax bill. It was hilarious because the Tesla shares, and disclosure, I have Tesla shares. They go down like $200 a share because he's selling, but he's listening to the people. So the next thing Elon does, do you think that he'll have, if he doesn't bootstrap it, he'll have any trouble funding it? No. And that's the difference. As a head of an AI company or a co-head of an AI company, I have a personal brand. When we did our seed round, Henry, we raised over $7 million in friends and family, because people are like, Susan, I know you're going to go and you're going to get things done, right? Yeah. And so it's so different. Even PhDs who don't have personal brands are not getting their research funded. Yeah. It is not negotiable. So I want to, okay, Henry, I want to rapid fire some questions. Are you ready?
All right, let's rock and roll. I see time. We could talk for hours.
I know. I know. Do you like football?
I do.
Who's your team?
The Jets, unfortunately.
You were going to say the Jets. I knew you were going to say the Jets. I just knew it. I knew it. We can't be friends now. Okay. Okay, but I'm gonna pass. All right, so here we go. Your picks for top branding trends 2022, go.
Yeah, so believe it or not, 3D illustration, sans serif fonts. You're also going to see a lot of negative space. So let your brand aesthetics breathe is going to be a huge a play this year. I see a lot of just vomiting, you know, of different types of fonts, different types of images, different types of, and that's going away. Simplicity is going to be the key for 2022.
Okay. I love it. I just took a breath when you said that. Okay. Cause I keep saying to my team, like, enough with all the scrolly crap. Cause I can't handle that. Just give me a white background. Just give me the white background, the black letters, a little bit of gold thrown in for the Asian part, you know, that, you know, we have our biggest listenership and viewership is in India. It's growing. So we'll just like, hey, we're going to keep the gold.
That's awesome.
If I ever become your client, that will be the thing we'll have to negotiate. Okay. Let's talk very quickly. Next pass, the metaverse. How is that going to change branding?
It's going to flip it on its head. We're no longer going to be branding websites. We're going to be branding outfits. We're going to be branding offices in the metaverse. We're going to be branding studios, office, but like all of that is going to be part of the service that we're going to have to provide as creatives in the design space moving forward. And so from sneakers to everything, it's how you show up in the metaverse is going to be just so fascinating to watch unfold. So I have my ears to the pavement. The minute what's his name, Zucks, came out in October and put that nice little video out, I've been paying attention.
It's interesting you mentioned it. So one of the companies that I'm invested in, it's in, and again, disclosure, because I have to do it, just go to studentslide.com. You can see the companies I'm invested in. Not my WeFunder ones, but the major ones, is called Good Goods. And they are creating a metaverse of good and they're gamifying good. So in that whole metaverse, if you transact and buy things in the metaverse that you're going to have shipped to your home in the real world, there's a whole component of give back, good, liberating girls from trafficking, building wells, like all this really cool stuff. So a metaverse of good. And so any of the companies that I'm looking at now in investing in, Henry, they have either got to be in the metaverse, crypto, something. But, you know, and it's just is. Okay, next pass to you. In my dreams, I'm a world-class NFL quarterback. Just pretend. Just play along with me. Okay. So my next pass to you is for the touchdown, crypto branding, transacting, what, you know, just go for it. Any thoughts there?
So I think it's going to be the next currency for sure. I will full disclosure. I recently got into the crypto game. I feel like I'm a little behind my colleagues, but I still feel based on the research and the study that I've been doing thus far that I am still ahead of the adoption, the mass adoption that's to come. And so, as far as crypto goes, I have a very simple strategy. I invest in Bit, I invest in ETH, and I put a dollar amount per week away in both. And I don't look at it. I don't look at it. So as of this recording, crypto's getting beat up right now, but it's the best time for anybody, including myself, to get in, because I'm in a dip, right? So I'm going to let this be my 10-year plan, and it's going to be my retirement. And I think it's going to be, crypto is going to be the retirement plans for a lot of the younger generation moving forward, because they're struggling right now to create that wealth like our parents had the ability to do through, you know, IRAs and stock market and all of that. This is their version. And so if you get in now, I think you're going to be in good shape. But again, there's two ways to lose, right? If you have nothing to lose, and if you could afford to lose. So I'm looking at this. I'm playing a very strategic. I'm not going all in. I'm going in very strategically and knowing that if I lose, I could afford it. And but yeah, I'm just going to set it and forget it. And you'll see very, very quickly, it's only going to go up. Yes, it's very volatile right now, and it'll probably stay volatile for quite some time. But if you hang on and you have the patience, I see us all winning.
Yeah. And like you, I was late to the party. And even though you and I both know Gary V, and I've done speaking events with Gary, that, you know, Gary has been talking about crypto for like a long time. And yeah. and the thing I would say is, when you have people like Henry, like Gary, that are talking about things, it's time when you start to hear about it to do your research, right? And so I have stable coins too. I have Ethereum, I have Bitcoin, Solana. I'm, you know, currently buying more Solana.
What about XRP? You got to get on XRP.
XRP. I am part of the Sheeb army on Twitter, and I love it. It's lit, you know, and I find it so entertaining. I have a little bit of Doge, but I have a lot of Sheeb. And Mark Devine, who I had on the show, he created SealFit. And Mark and I had lunch in California, Henry. And Mark is such an outstanding human, genius brander. And anyway, so we're talking about crypto, and I'm like, so do you have Sheeb? He goes, yeah. And I won't disclose how much Sheeb he has, but he's kind of a Sheeb whale. So that's all I have to say about. But, you know, I think to your point, there's a lot of opportunities. And what I say to people is, instead of having a bottle of wine on a Wednesday night, take that money and maybe it's disposable. That's what you throw into whatever. But, you know, you gotta be smart about it. Okay, this is my last. I'm going for the touchdown.
All right, let's go.
You know, if you're not on YouTube, you can hear me pulling my chair back and I'm throwing the touchdown, which is the Patriots beating the Jets. You know, Mac Jones, our new quarterback, he gave all of his offensive line Bitcoin for Christmas. And what a sweetheart. He also gave them a lesson in Bitcoin by the person who started Bitcoin Magazine. I'm like, that is so sweet.
Wow. So, that's a great gift.
I just want to share that. For the touchdown, you have a course. Tell us about your course. So for someone who says, you know what, I'd love to hire you, but I'm just beginning, but you have a course.
Yeah. So, well, it's free. It's 100% free. It is the Brand Doctor's Masterclass. It's going to be about 2 hours in length. There's multiple lessons in it, but it's going to help you understand how entrepreneurs scale to seven figures and beyond, the tools they use, the resources they use, the mindset they use, the resources they use, and the most important, the questions they use to challenge themselves to get to that level in business. So all you have to do is go to Unique Designs with a Z at the end, not an S, .net. Scroll down, you'll get to that masterclass. If you want to get right to it, it's Unique Designs, again, with a Z at the end, not an S, .net/ level up my branding. And I hope you enjoyed. I would love to get some feedback from you on it. And feel free to hit me up on all my socials. They're all on my website. And check out the Brand Doctor podcast, because Susan's going to be on it soon. She just doesn't know it yet.
I'm excited. And in our show notes, we have show notes on SusanSly.com. So we are going to have a link to Henry's course, a link to all of his social. Follow him on social. And if you're a Jets fan, you should follow him, because, you know, that's the law of diminishing returns.
I love it.
I'm just kidding. I have such all the listeners know I have such an appreciation for football because I give a lot of props to my dad, Henry, and my dad has his own YouTube channel. I won't disclose what it is because he likes his green screen just a little too much. Anyway, my dad is developing this reputation. And so, but I was raised by a single dad, grew up on Sundays watching doubleheaders of football. So I've watched my share of Jets, and anyway, I just appreciate good football and I appreciate you. Thank you for your wisdom, your insights. I have a page of notes, Henry. So thank you so much. And I would just encourage everyone, get the show notes because we transcribe these show notes just for people like you so you can get all the good stuff and get Henry's course. Oh my gosh, you need to go there and get that. So Henry, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks again for having me, Susan. What a pleasure.
Thank you. All right. With that, everyone, we're on Real Entrepreneurs. Thanks so much for listening. If this show has been great, Henry and I would love a 5-star review. And so please go ahead and do that. Share the show. Tag us on social with that. God bless. Go rock your day. And I will see you in the next episode of Raw and Real Entrepreneurship.
Hey, it's Susan. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. If this episode has helped you in any way, please go ahead and give a great review on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you listen to this podcast. If this show has really given you some amazing insight, please go ahead and tag me on social at Susan_Sly on Twitter, at Susan Sly on Instagram, and at Susan Sly Live on Facebook. With that, check out more great episodes of Raw and Real Entrepreneurship, the show where entrepreneurs create their own freedom. With that, God bless, go rock your day, and I will see you in the next episode.